Would you please turn to Matthew 13? The book of Matthew, chapter 13. Let's pray together. Wonderful Lord, we thank you for your benevolent hand, for your provision. Oh Lord, for your mercy and your long-suffering towards us. Father, this morning we bring our private world to you. We bring our families, our homes, our marriages, our children and their children. Also our moms and dads, and if we're fortunate, even grandma and grandpa. We ask you in Jesus' name, my Father, that you would just speak to us. That you would allow us to, for us to make a determination, an assessment, what is the condition of our heart this morning? What kind of soil do we have in our hearts? Father, may your word have its way upon our heart. That we may become doers and not only hearers. Bless each and every one of us. We pray for the person in front of us, behind us, to the left and to the right. May you bless them, speak to them, as we ask you to speak to us too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. I entitled this message, "You Have an Ear, Do You Hear?" This is a human character that we all have. If you've been married more than 5 years, you know what I'm talking about. We're hearing, but we're not listening. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. And that is a human nature that we have. We have ears, but we're not listening. Jesus said earlier, before Matthew 14 or 13, he said in Matthew 11:15, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now that's kind of a radical expression. I have ears. Yeah, you have ears, but you're not listening to me. And so Jesus always ended most of his teaching by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Why would he say that? Because in the crowd that he was speaking to, there were many people who were listening to Jesus, but they were not hearing Jesus, what he was saying. Jesus was teaching about the value of the kingdom of God, speaking about salvation, about hope, about faith, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was at hand. There were those hearts that were receiving, and they were acknowledging what he was saying. They understood clearly what he was saying, but others were saying, "Man, what channel is he on? Where's his frequency? I don't understand it." And so the Bible says here in Matthew 13 that Jesus begins to teach in parables. He has not done that. And all of a sudden, when you read this particular portion of Scripture, combined with Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4, when you read all these three accounts, you have a better appreciation as you gather the panoramic expression of what is taking place here. Mark chapter 4 begins by saying, "And then Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat on it, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching." Mark is the only one that says that Jesus was teaching them. He became a teacher. Now, what is a teacher? What does a teacher do? Education, discipline, inculcation, instructions, training, and tutoring, imparting information. Do we have any teachers here? Raise your hands. May the Lord have mercy upon you, because you have a vast task in front of you. And I appreciate you, all you teachers. I have never forgotten Miss Edwards. Oh, Miss Edwards. Oh, Miss Reese, my sixth grade teacher. She was so beautiful. She used to wear Avon Unforgettable. I can't ever forget her. I will pretend that I didn't understand. "Miss Edwards, what does this mean here?" And she would get close to me and I would smell, "Unforgettable. That's what you are." But she wasn't beautiful in the sense where she was gorgeous. She had a beautiful disposition about her inside. Oh, how I wish that all women were like Miss Edwards. Miss Edwards was very instructive in her way she described and the way she taught and the way she was patient with me. And so Jesus was teaching. He was disseminating information. He was teaching, but what was he teaching? He was teaching about the kingdom of God. Jesus was not speaking to people about what's going on this earth. They already knew what was going on this earth. So Jesus was teaching them about salvation, about hope. He was speaking to them about forgiveness, adultery. He was speaking about the Beatitudes. He was speaking to them about kindness and love. He was speaking to them about faith, prayer, fasting, giving, wealth, judging, false and true teaching, God's golden rule, the parables and the two ways of life. He says there's two ways in life. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. But then he starts speaking now in parables. That's never happened. In fact, when he starts speaking a parable, and the disciples later on asked him, Master, why are you changing channels on us? Why are you speaking parables now? Jesus gives the answer in verse number 10. He says, to you, you have been given the right and the love and the privilege for you to understand the mysteries of God. But to them, it has not. To them. So there is a separation. There are those and there are them. Jesus spoke in parables. First of all, what is a parable and why is he speaking on parables? We read verse 1 of chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. So that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold. Every time you see the word behold, basically means trip out, pay attention. Okay, that's what it means. That's what it means. You have to understand that. We don't use that word in our English language. You go to Jack in the Box, it behold. I like two tacos, please. You don't do that. You understand what I'm saying? I just want you to understand, because the English language is very difficult, okay? I'm a former immigrant, all right? I know what I'm talking about. I thought I learned English. Now I learned the Bible. Behold, what's behold? Behold, okay, behold. Well, when you look at the old English, basically means trip out. I'm about to drop something on you. Listen. And that's basically what it means. I know you Bible students are looking at me kind of like, dude, you're messed up. I know. But I'm not speaking to Bible students. I'm speaking to everyday people. People. You understand? So I have to explain to my people. I know this is a different congregation, but I need to explain that. Behold. Behold is basically, says, pay attention. I'm going to drop something and it's going to blow your mind. Check this out. So he says, behold. A sower. Now, let me ask you. How many here don't know what a sower is? Raise your hand. I see, I told you. Look at that. So how are we going to go? We don't even know what a sower is. A sower is a man who's planting seed like this. Now we have the automatic one. You go to Home Depot, but in those days they would have a sack and they would just do this, like Johnny Appleseed. Basically just throw it around. That's a sower. So he was throwing seed. A sower went out to sow, to plant. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He just dropped a parable. Now, first of all, what is a parable? The word parable comes from two Greek words, para and balo. Hyperbole, you ever heard that word? So the word para, the word paramount, or the Holy Spirit, the parakletos, or parasite, or paramedic, paralegal. So a parabalo is something that goes together to throw alongside. A parable is like an illustration that makes comparison between a known truth and an unknown truth, and it throws them alongside each other. It's usually a short fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. Parables utilize pictures such as metaphors, analogies, and frequently extend them into a brief story to make a point or disclosure. Those stories here, especially those of Jesus, told to provide a vision of life, especially life in God's kingdom. So the parable means putting alongside for purposes of comparison and new understanding. By providing a parable, He was providing divine truth to the hearts and minds of men. But here's the problem. Some of those parables would not be understood by some people. They were scratching their head like, "Oh, what's that?" Others were saying, "Right on, I know what it means." And right now, in a moment, you're going to see that the disciples are more inquisitive about, "Lord, why are you speaking in parables now? You've never done that in the ministry. And now you're throwing illustrations now. You're throwing out mental pictures. And what's that all about?" Verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them," the general public or the crowds, "in parables?" And here's the answer. He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them it has not been given." So there's the answer. Now, as Jesus begins to continue speaking, he's going to quote a scripture from Isaiah chapter 6. Now, when you look at Isaiah chapter 6, in chapter 6 is when Isaiah was commissioned by the Lord to go out and preach the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to a nation that was polluted in harlotry and immorality. There was a moral breakdown. The judgment was coming. And so Isaiah says, "Lord, send me. I'll go." And so the Lord says, "Okay, I'm going to send you. But they're not going to believe your message. They're not even going to understand you." And Isaiah doesn't say one thing. I would say, "Wait a minute, why are you going to send me? They're not going to hear me." He says, "Because I love them. And they need to be warned before the judgment comes, that they have an opportunity to come to repentance before judgment comes." He says, "But most of them," God says, "their hearts, forgive me, their lips are so close to me, but their what are so far away? Their hearts. They have an outward spirituality. Oh, Lord, we love you. But outside of that, they were doing their own thing. Blasphemous things." So the judgment of God was coming. So Isaiah, you have a horrible ministry. You're going to go out there. They have eyes, but they cannot see what you're telling them. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have hearts, but their heart is so tight, so hard, they're not going to understand. So here what happened with the parables. He says, "To them, to you, you have been given the privilege of knowing the mystery." Now, when we say mystery, it's not the Agatha Christie like Sherlock Holmes. Ooh. No. The word in Greek is mysterion. Basically means this: a spiritual truth that can be made known only by divine revelation. And is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God, and those only who are illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 25:14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show him his covenant." In 1 Corinthians 2:7, Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom that was ordained before the ages of our glory." But Paul says much more deeper things in Romans 16, verse 25. This is what he said. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scripture has been made known to all the nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." The Spirit allowed us to enter into this new mystery. And what was the mystery? The church of Jesus Christ. And so we have this mystery, this revealed divine truth that God gives to us. When you and I, before we were Christians, maybe not you, maybe me, I didn't understand about the Old Testament, New Testament. I didn't even know about minor prophets and major prophets. I didn't know that we have historical content. We have poetical books. We have historical books. We have the book of Acts. We have four gospels. I didn't know all that. I was totally ignorant about the Word of God. The Bible says that I was a natural man. The natural man has no spiritual appreciation. The natural man that has no spiritual discernment, basically, he doesn't understand the things of God, because the Bible says they're foolishness. So when people want to speak to me about Jesus Christ before I was a Christian, I will laugh at Christians. "You're weak. You have to create a God because you're weak. You can't handle the truth. You got to live. You got to get high. You got to do what you got to do." People say, "Man, you're messed up." No, you Christians are messed up. See, I was blind. I couldn't understand. They were telling me about heaven, about salvation, about hope, about forgiveness. didn't appreciate them, didn't understand them, didn't care. Jesus was speaking the parables. The sad thing about the parables, they were used to both to hide the truth and to reveal truth. The hardened heart was a closed heart. They would hear it, but they would not understand it. But the sincere listener, desiring to know the truth, will hear it and understand the truth. You see, it was a light to searching hearts, but it was darkness to the unconcerned and unrepentant. So Jesus began to speak parables because the time was at hand. The people of God during Jesus' time, they had religion, they had culture, they had all the outward expressions of religious people, but inwardly, they were so far off, like in the times of Isaiah. So Jesus begins to speak to his disciples privately. He never spoke parables with his disciples. We look at the book of Mark chapter 4. And there the Bible says that Jesus was alone with them and he explained to them the meaning of the parable. And never, he says, never did he speak straightforward to the crowds. We are told, I believe, in verse 34 of chapter 13 of Matthew. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. So they asked Jesus in verse number 10, why do you speak parables now? And he said to them, and I repeat again, verse 11, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Okay, but why are you saying it now? Well, verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. You see, Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. And unfortunately, this is one of the prophecies they had to fulfill. Because the people of God during the time of Jesus was basically the same climate, moral climate, as it was with Isaiah's time. There were people who had an outward religiosity. They were deep in culture and tradition. But God was far away from their hearts. And as Jesus began to speak parables, it will be the equivalent of me speaking to this crowd right here. And I speak a parable. And half of you will say, right on. Dude, that's heavy. Well, the other half were saying, what time is lunch? Far separately. And so is the parable of the four soils. He just gave us a parable, giving us a description of each of our hearts. And no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter where you've been or where you're going, where you think you are, there's a heart that you have as a seat of emotions. Jesus, when he spoke parables, he spoke to the heart. He never spoke to the intellect. No one in the Bible said, wow, man, my head is enlightened after hearing Jesus. No one. Most of them said they were astonished at his teachings. They were amazed in what he did. How did this young man, never gone to school, never been to rabbinical school, never been educated in Jerusalem, but he's from the wino country of Nazareth, raised by a carpenter, he knows the things of God. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he spoke about things above. He spoke about love. He spoke about hate. He spoke about money. He spoke about avarice. He spoke about hope. He spoke about faith. He spoke about family. He spoke about parenthood. He spoke about doing the right thing. And after he finished, he will always say, let him who has ear, let him hear what I've just said. And there are those who didn't understand. To this day, even family members, we tell them, we're born again. You need Jesus Christ. You're in sin. And they look at you like, Ben, you've been going to South Bay too many days now. Tell me again, you go what? You go Sunday morning? You go Sunday night? And then you go Wednesday night? You're in a cult. You're in a cult. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, they don't understand. And you're trying to tell them the truth. Now, people are not born with a hard heart. Heart gets hard by what? By life. By our own guilt, by our own darkness. by our own will, we choose and make decisions. And we pursue something that we think is right. And pretty soon, nobody can change the course because that's what you want. And that's what you want to do. Christ comes into your heart and you don't like it. And you said, I don't want to listen to him. And therefore, we become deaf to the truth of God. We don't have appreciation. It's like going to an art class. You go to an art class and everybody's talking about a certain painting. And if you're like me, I go, what is that? It's just like a monkey got a hold of it. I have no appreciation for that. Other artists, they look at it and they sigh. Oh, magnificent. And two homeboys are back like, what is that? We have no appreciation for that. And so it is. Parables were to give divine truth. People were listening because the condition of the heart. See, the word of God is the seed. The sower is Jesus Christ. The soil is the condition of your heart. Now, Jesus was not speaking so much about salvation. You're saying, well, I'm born again. That doesn't affect me. Yes, you can be born again. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can be dynamic in your walk for the first 2 years. After that, you're just a moralist. Oh, I don't smoke. I don't party. I don't drink. A Christian is not known by what he doesn't do. A Christian is known by what he does, not what he doesn't do. What do you do as a Christian? Nothing. Just don't smoke, don't drink, don't dance. What do you do? Nothing. No. A Christian is known by what he or she does. So the condition of the heart is very, very important. And so he says, listen, it's to fulfill scripture. See, the explanation, as I shared with you, is always in private, away from the crowds and the public. Mark 4:34 says, but without a parable, he did not speak to the crowds. And when they were alone with the disciples, he explained all things to his disciples. So why do you speak in parables? Because I'm fulfilling scripture. That's why. Verse 16. But blessed are you. You who are following me. For your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He said, oh man, happy you should be. That you, disciples, you are in the cusp of world history, human history, divine history. You, non-entities, these were not mighty people. Look at the background of all the disciples of Jesus. They're fishermen. They're flunkies. Basically, they were not the perfect picture of leadership. They were fighting amongst each other. They were like kids. Right after they have communion, it was such a blessed time. Jesus said, I'm going to die. And right after this beautiful, solemn ceremony, the Bible says they were arguing little kids. Who's the greatest? I am. 3 hours before Jesus was arrested, they were arguing. And these are the kind of people? Yes, but when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, Jesus said into heaven, some of them were arrested by the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, in the book of Acts. And the Bible says that these learned men, when they looked at these fishermen, at these Galileans, a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody, when they saw them, they says, these people are not educated. They are ignorant. But they knew they had been with Jesus. Jesus transforms. Jesus rejuvenates. Jesus gives you back what the cankerworm has eaten. Jesus induced you to do the things you thought you would never do. When I became a Christian, you see, I had a will in my heart. For many years, since the age of 13 years old, I wanted to open up my own restaurant. That was my goal and ambition in life. Not just any restaurant, you understand? It was a nice restaurant. Where at? In Big Bear. You know why? Because I heard there were boxers from L.A. who wanted to open up gyms in Big Bear. And all these professional boxers always carry an entourage of 40, 50, 60 to 200 people. And I'm thinking, dude, I can just make my money into 200 people. I have a nice restaurant. I had investors lined up. And the Lord allowed me to go back to school. I never thought I would go back to school. Because all the time I was told that I was an imbecile, that I was never able to get it. They were right. But the Lord came into my life. The Lord came into my life, gave me back my sanity, my mental hygiene, went back to school. And he says, no, you have to, in order for you to take English 1, you got to take English 64. Why do I have to take English 64? Because that's what it is. All right, then give me English 64. I went to East LA College, and I'm thinking, I'm a Vietnam veteran, an American citizen, and there I am sitting with Laotian, Cambodians, and Salvadorians. Nothing against them, but you see, I speak English. I'm an American citizen. I'm a Vietnam veteran. And I'm sitting there reading things like, go, cat, go. And I'm thinking, this is insane. That's part of the process of God just humiliating you. You ain't nobody. So I took English 64, and I made friends with a bunch of Cambodians, Laotians, and Salvadorians. And then I took English, another English class. Finally, I was able to take English 1. Graduated from East LA College, and then went to Cal Poly Pomona. And I had it. I was going to go. Did 2 years of Cal Poly Pomona. I couldn't handle anymore. I quit because we had just had twins. And now this is another story for some other time. But the fact is that God allowed me to go to school. And I went to school to get my degree in business administration with an emphasis in hotel and restaurant management. And I wanted to have that. That's my goal. I became a Christian. Oh, Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want. No matter what happens, this is what I want. And we says, Lord, thy will be done. But you know what my will is. And the Lord had to take that dream away from me. Because that dream that I had was getting me in trouble with what God wanted to show me. Did I ever thought one time, Lord, I'm going to be a pastor? Never. I seen what Pastor Al went through. I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be a businessman and support missions. The Lord, if you bless me a lot, I'll bless missions. But the Lord had other plans. So God had to crush me. God had to love me and crush me. That's not the way I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. You see, my heart was bent. This is the seat of emotions. Jesus never spoke to the intellect. When the people heard Jesus, they said things like, we've never heard such man speak with authority. Not like the scribes, not like the Herodians, not like the Sadducees, not like the Pharisees. He's a common man, but he speaks the things of God. He speaks things that make sense. He speaks reality. He convicts us. He persuades us just the way he speaks and the way he looks and the content of his speech and how he speaks to us. There's something different about this man. There were those that were hit hard, but others were saying,
oh, time to serve is over.
If that is you, examine your heart. Is your heart that hard? It has to be replenished. It has to be cultivated like a garden. It has to be cultivated, irrigated. You have to plow it and you have to work at it and take the weeds out. Some of us, if we can see your spiritual heart, man, it's just a weed. It's a weed garden. Nothing to grow. There are no fruits. So Jesus explains to them. He says, but blessed are you for your eyes see and your eyes for they hear. In chapter 11, Jesus expresses a prayer. In verse 25, he says this, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these wonderful things from the wise and from the prudent and have revealed them to babes or babies. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your hand. So he praises God, his Father, for revealing truth to babes. Now, when he says babes, he's not speaking of fine-looking girls. Babes are babies. He referred to the disciples as spiritual babies. They didn't understand the spiritual dynamics of the theological dispensation of what was going on. They were fishing. They were common people like you and I. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God, the king himself, comes and he goes, come, I'll make you fishers of men. Come. And they left everything. They followed him. No questions asked. And Jesus began to teach them. And right before his death, he says, Father, I thank you that you have revealed the truth and the mysteries to the common folk. That you have left the mysteries not to the wise and to the prudent, but you revealed them to common people. And so here he commends them in verse 16 of chapter 13. But blessed are you, for they see in your eyes, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men from the past desired to see what you're seeing and did not see it, and to hear what you are hearing and did not hear it. So Jesus even commends him. He says, man, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Amos, Hosea, all these prophets before, although they're great and powerful, they wish they can be on your shoes right now to witness what you're seeing, to hear what you're hearing. So he blesses them. And then he explains to them the parable. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not what? Understand it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the word of God or the seed by the wayside. First of all, they don't understand it. Those are the kind of people or hearers whose hearts are so hardened by selfishness, desire, and evil habits that no message can find personal accommodation. See, that reflected me when I first heard the gospel. My heart, I didn't understand the word of God. And because I didn't understand the word of God, I just relegated that, you know what, you're in a cult and I don't understand it. Plus, I like what I'm doing. I like darkness. I like dealing and wheeling. I like hanging around with people with no teeth. I like to drink wine. I like to party. So my heart was closed. So when they told me the word of God, it had no impact. And then in verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places or stony ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So this is what I would call the yippee-yay heart. He hears the word of God. He goes, yes, that's what I want. Yes, yes. Oh, I want it all. Yes, come in. Kumbaya sensation. And then they go out into the parking lot and they found out that their car was stolen. And then you go back to your house. You find out that someone ransacked your house. And then you find out that you have been fired from your job. And all these things come against you. And that joy is gone. And you say, now that I'm a Christian, all these things are happening. The joy saps from you. And what happens? Tribulation, persecution arose. And because of that, the word of God that was in your heart when you were yipping-yayang left you. And you're back to zero again. The third kind of person. Now he who receives seed among the thorns. This is most of us. Now he who receives seed or the word of God among the thorns. It is he who hears the word and the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. So, this is the people who gladly hear the word of God, who sincerely accept the truth of God. They begin a new life of faith, but then become overcome by the cares and riches and pleasures of life so that they are unfruitful and followers of Christ. They are overcome by their own agenda, like trying to become restaurant owners. That's what I wanted to do. I had the word of God in me, but I was choking it with my own will. I don't want to do this. I want to open up my own restaurant. And those thorns were coming up against me. Until finally came one day, as a Christian man, sitting in church just like this, when I deeply, sincerely, honestly, broken, with tears in my eyes, I said, God, I am tired of doing my own thing. What do you want me to do? And he says, just listen to me. Walk with me. Stop your agenda. Stop driving the bus. And get in the back. That's what it did. And I said, okay. All right. What do you want me to do? I want you to quit Cal Poly, Mr. Businessman. And then what? I want you to go to Bible school. Bible school. For what? And that was it. God had a different plan for my life. Am I happy? Yes. Am I content? Yes. My children love it? They love it. My wife happy? She's very happy. Very happy. God had a plan for my life. And so God has a plan for your life. What is the condition of your heart? Is it by the wayside, stony ground, or thorns? Or here's the last one. And we close with this. But he who received seed or the word of God on the good ground is he or she who hears the word of God and what? Understands it. Who indeed bears what? Fruit. And produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So this good ground is a person who understands the word of God. It says, yes, either as a Christian, as a non-Christian. As a non-Christian, they said, that's what I need. That's what I've been looking for. My heart accepts that. I understand that. That's what I need. As a non-Christian, that's what I want. And as a Christian, you say, that's how I want to have my heart like that, with that kind of soil. That I can receive the word, not only become a hearer of God's word, but a what? A doer of God's word. And God begins to do something in your life. Perhaps you're just basically meandering in life. Basically just kicking it. Just being religious. God has more for your life than being religious. God has a plan for your life. That you can be productive in your own community, in your own family, in their own church, in your own life. That you can become productive in the kingdom of God. In this world, in the world to come. And so Jesus said that this kind of heart understands it. But not only understands it, but bears fruit and becomes productive. Now when you say bear fruit, what are we talking about? Well, to bear fruit, you look at Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience, long-suffering. Those are wonderful virtues to have in this world. And when you have those fruits, you become a magnet in our society. Because people are not smiling anymore. People are not kind anymore. People are not don't have goodness anymore. But here you are, smiling. You know how wonderful it is? There's a guy named, I don't want to give you his name. We drove up in the parking lot, and I drove up, and he has a smile from here to here. You know how wonderful that is? In the world, you go to the market, do they have a smile? You go to the DMV, are they smiling? Nobody smiles anymore. It's so beautiful to go out there to the world where there's this evilness, perversion. People don't have manners. And here you are saying, hi, good morning, thank you. God, oh, I appreciate it. People get all jazzed. What are you made of? Bam. What condition is your heart? I hope you have the condition of the good soil. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your wonderful love and goodness. Be with us, each and every one of us. With each head bow and everyone praying. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. I would like to pray for you. If God has spoken to you, the word of God, if you become appreciative of the things that God speaks to you about, he wants to speak to you about love, about hope, forgiveness, love, faith, honesty, mental health, emotional hygiene, salvation, eternity, peace with God and the peace of God. That's for you. There's some who perhaps are here, don't understand it, they don't care. But I'm not speaking to them. I'm speaking to you. If you are non-Christian and you would like to receive Jesus Christ and you want me to pray for you right now, would you please do me a favor? Would you please raise your hand and say, Punch, pray for me this morning. I want to receive Christ. God bless you, Mika. Love you. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Quickly. God bless you. Anyone else? To my right, God bless you. Right here, God bless you too. Anywhere else, way in the back and over here, God bless you, sir. Anyone else, quickly. Think about it. You're not a Christian right now. Ask yourself, man, how come I'm not raising my hand? God bless you, both of you. Why am I not raising my hand? God bless you. Why am I not raising my hand? Because of your heart and your pride, man. For the first time in your life, tell pride, not this time. You have ripped me off of my family. You have ripped me off in the past. And I want to use something else called humility. And I humble myself before my maker. For those of you who raise your hands, God bless you, sir. God bless you. For those of you who raise your hands, I'm going to ask you something else to confirm in your heart, because Satan's going to mess with you afterwards. That is to make a stand for Jesus. For those of you who raise your hand right now, would you please stand so I can pray with you, whoever you are, quickly, just stand, quickly, God bless you, quickly, stand, quickly, quickly, there's more hands, quickly, anybody else, quickly, I beg of you, stand to your feet. Why do we have to do that? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you. Here's where the rubber meets the road. We're truthful. Anyone else, quickly, just stand to your feet, quickly. You're here, you're broken, you're hopeless, you're despairing, you're looking for an answer, and the answer is in Jesus Christ, and he wants to dwell in your heart. He said this, I stand and I knock at the door of your heart. If you let me in, I promise to dwell in your heart and dwell with you and have supper with you. It means intimacy. Jesus will never push himself in. He always asks, can I go in into your heart? And those that are standing have said, my heart is open. Come on in into my life, Jesus. Anyone else, quickly, just stand. Anybody else? For those of you who are standing, after we finish praying, there's some people to my left. Tubai, Pastor Tubai will be there. He wants to speak to you for 2-3 minutes. Give you a Bible if you don't have one. But for right now, please repeat this simple but powerful prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. Simple. Repeat after me, whether quietly in your own heart or out loud, to bless us. Doesn't matter. God sees your heart. So repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I repent of all my sin and shame. Come into my heart, Jesus. I surrender all to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me the person you want me to be, with a new heart, with a new mind, and a clean conscience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God.